Good day, Sanibonani. For the past couple of years in South Africa, we have taken on a mission to empower our women. The question is, how far have we went as a nation? 30 years later in democracy, we have seen a lot of women rising up into the ladders of corporate, some in politics, some in media. Today I have in studio Nazlie Sharif. She is the former Member of Parliament of the DA, is currently a member of the Gauteng legislature. She has a degree in political studies from Wits. She's also a member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. She serves as a DA spokesperson for social development. Nazlie, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Bafana, for having me. It's so good to be here. I'm good. How are you?
No, I'm well. Happy Women's Month.
Yay, cool.
This is the month where you guys are in charge, yeah?
No, we charge all the time, but sure, if it makes you feel better.
You know, I look at your profile and I see so much that you have done with your lifetime. Like, where did this girl come from? How did it all start? What a beautiful journey that you have captured in your profile. Give us a background. Where are you from? How did it all start?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Johannesburg, so born and bred in the city. I was raised in a single-parent household. And being raised in a single-parent household, I'm sure many of your listeners and viewers can attest to. You learn how to approach life in a different way. You learn about what equality means, what, you know, justice means from a very early age, because essentially we have to grow up a little bit quicker than kids coming from a two-parent household. So I started my journey from being a child. You know, I always knew that what I wanted to do with my life, I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to change people's lives. So believe it or not, when I was growing up, I would always tell my mom, I want to be a judge. Like, that's what I want to be. I want to be a judge. And then I got to Wits. I was 19 years old when I got to Wits. I took a gap year after high school. I got to Wits and I realized there's so many challenges that young people especially is going through. And we essentially, we're not only the future of this country. This is our country. And if we want to make a difference, we have to start stepping up and stepping into these spaces.
True.
So I joined the DA student organization at Wits, DASO, when I was 19 years old. So what's this, 2009, giving away my age a little bit. And I joined the party straight. I led the DASO branch for 2 years. I was an activist for 5 years, you know, just honing my skills, learning about it.
Yes.
I joined the DA because it's a liberal party, and I grew up as a liberal. You know, my mom always said, you make a choice, you know what's right and wrong. And I believe that, you know, liberalism for me is the way that we need to move forward as society. And then after 5 years, at 24, I was elected as a councillor in the city of Johannesburg.
24. Wow.
And then at 26, I was re-elected, but I was then elected as one of the youngest chairpersons in the history of Joburg for the Section 79 Committee of Gender, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities.
Yes, yes.
And that's essentially where my passion grew for gender activism, woman activism, really learning and putting myself towards gender-based violence, which my passion is to combat that.
But the question would be, why did you choose the DA? When you got to campus, I'm sure there was a lot of political parties.
Too many.
You
had
SASCO, you had
IFP. The PYA, eventually you had the EFF, but when I joined, there wasn't the EFF just then.
That's our generation. I had my time in SASCO back then, during the Fismas Fall time.
Yes.
But then why would you choose DA? Why DA? Give us a background.
Like I said, you know, I grew up being liberal. I grew up in a liberal household. So I believe that every individual must have the opportunity to be the best that they can.
Yes.
And essentially that's, in a nutshell,
For the
ideology, right? And what it stands for, all the ologies and the ideologies. And when I looked at the different parties and I looked at their values and I looked at their principles, immediately I was drawn towards the DA. Open opportunity society for all, for every single person, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from. You should have the simple fact of having the opportunity to live the life you want to live. So whether you come from, in my constituency, in Slovo, or Protea Glen or Zola, you can have the same opportunities as somebody that comes from Sandton, that comes from Bedford, that comes from all of these more affluent areas. And that's what the DA stands for. And so that's why I joined. And I've been with the party for 15 years.
Sure.
That's, it's a long time.
The longest serving, yeah? The longest serving member of parliament.
It's a long time.
I'm going to say, when you look at the struggle of women, in the 1950s, I think, what was it, when the women went on for the past?
Correct.
And I look at today that the struggle of women has changed. And but then there's been some progress over the years. What, according to you, where do you think we have managed to succeed and where do you think we might have failed?
That's a very interesting question because as a young woman in South Africa, I know I have to be grateful and thankful for the work that the woman before me has done.
Yes.
But at the same time, I need to balance it with the realities of today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we look at the 1950s, the 1960s, the 1970s, the women were fighting for space. Just for political space,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to sit around those tables. You had the women march to the union buildings for PAS and for, you know, the into apartheid. And they were fighting for a specific, you know, cause.
Yes.
Then women got into these spaces. We had democracy. Mm-hmm. We had women elected. We had a woman speaker. We had women in ministries. We had the ANC Women's League that really was very instrumental in breaking down of apartheid. You had incredible women, Winnie Mandela, Ruth First. I can name all Helen of them, Kachalia, Helen Suzman, Helen Zilla. You know, we had all of these women who really opened up the spaces for us as younger generation to come in and basically pick up the baton.
Yes.
You know, because like you said, women's issues change, society changes.
Over the years.
So issues will change. And yes, we may not be fighting for pass and you know, getting a seat at the table. We're now fighting to secure our seat at the table and not just be there as yes women or because we have to reach a quota. Mm-hmm. So we need 3 women out of 5.
It's not an issue of balance of forces.
Yeah, it should never be. I would never want to be at a table just because I'm a woman. I want to be at a table because I serve a purpose and because, you know, I can make a difference.
Yeah.
And so now it's for us as young women to now look at society. Right? How do we want to see society as we grow up and as we have our own kids?
Yes.
So we're talking about gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about pay gap.
Yes.
We're talking about the patriarchy. We're talking about being seen as equals. We, you know, it's not that you have to be in the kitchen barefoot, pregnant. You know, now you are in a boardroom with stiletto heels and MAC lipstick, and you're killing the game. But it's about the balance of. Thank you for where we've come from, but where do we still need to go? And this is my issue, and I'm probably going to get some flack for it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Come on.
If I have to fight the same battles that a woman before me has fought, then she has failed.
True.
Because, I'll say this, if a young woman after me, after I've done what I needed to do, and I leave, and she comes in, and she has to fight the same battles I'm fighting, I have failed. Because that means that I didn't set the path. I didn't clear the way. I didn't hit down the barriers to make it easier for her to go through it.
But then, since what society says now, there's patriarchy, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And I mean, Africa is very much traditional in approach.
Yeah.
And we still have a lot of men who still view women as a wife, a mother for my kids. I'll take care of you, I'll give you everything. How well do you think we are doing in terms of balancing that?
So it's interesting you say that because, you know, I'm a keen observer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a keen observer of politics and I'm a keen observer of society and how society acts.
Yes.
What's missing in the conversation around all of this? You know, the men are trash, all of those sort of things. What's missing is how does patriarchy affect men? Right? And how does patriarchy affect men? In a number of ways. You learn, men grow up learning unhealthy behaviors, unhealthy ways to deal with their emotions. You know, you have to be a man. What does a man mean? And it's all these hard sort of, you know, box.
Like a man.
He has to be in a box. You have to be this certain way to be a man.
Yeah.
And that's patriarchy.
Mm.
That's patriarchy through and through.
Mm.
If we remove patriarchy, to being equal is not seen as a man or a woman thing. It's seen as a human thing. right? Mm-hmm. And so I know, I can see how you're looking at me. So let me finish my point, right?
Okay.
Even as a feminist, and there are many feminists out there, and again, you know, feminism gets a bad rap because people think feminism is this. But as a feminist, and we were having this conversation earlier, I want to be a wife. I want to be with a man that is a leader. I want to be a man that is the head of the household, to look after the home. Doesn't make me less of a feminist. Doesn't mean I'm not equal in the household. Because human beings bring different things. If I'm in a relationship, I'm not bringing 50%. Bafana, you bring 50%. We'll be very unhappy. You must bring 100%. I must bring 100%. And we find each other. Because marriage is a teamwork. It's teamwork.
It's true, Liz.
Raising kids is teamwork.
But here's my question to you then. If with this equality approach, and I think that's what I asked you earlier to say, then how do you balance it? Because when a man tends to take the lead, he's called a patriarchal and control freak.
Yes.
When he's trying to be a man in his nature, meaning leading and guiding, some women would say, a man won't tell me what to do, not my father. Right?
Not even my father says that.
Not even my father talks to me like that, you know? So the question then becomes, how then, as much as we're empowering women, how do we then turn this empowerment into a natural, into a healthy environment for both the gender roles?
Yeah.
I mean, I won't lie to you. I believe in every right for women to be empowered.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to come home to a home cooked meal by a woman.
Cool.
I would love to see my home cleaned by a woman.
Wow.
Right? It's just the way it is. I mean, if a man can clean a house, they can do it. Trust me, they can.
Yeah.
But it won't be as clean as a woman. Right? But we do our part.
Bafana, we are in 2024.
Sure.
Right? Women are doing incredible things.
Sure.
Women are breaking glass barriers.
True.
And so, how do we find the balance? Everybody's an individual. You're an individual man, you're an individual woman.
Mm.
You find your person, and with love, kindness, and treating each other this as equals and being a team, that's where you find balance.
I mean,
we have to both, all of us have to unlearn and relearn. All of us. Because parents are not perfect.
Yes.
And we all have generational trauma.
Mm-hmm.
We all have family trauma that we come from.
Yes.
It's about unlearning, relearning, and then implementing. And just finding what we want to be like as parents, what we want to be, what we want our society to look like.
Yes.
And it can all exist at the same time. Why must we choose Bafana? No.
I mean, I think, you know, I look at people and I look at maybe what the world today has defined a woman as and what a man is and these different roles. I mean, I don't even see them as roles. It's just our nature, what we are made like that, right?
Sure.
And I tend to find it people debating on a man must do this,
a
woman must do that.
Yeah.
You know, a good man must wash dishes,
a
good woman. And like, I tend to find the debate usually to be more on, to divide, more in divisive rather than actually building
A consensus. Yeah.
But I'm going to...
And finding each other.
Finding each other.
Bafana, I think society is at a place where we just have so much anger and so much, you know, we just want to fight with each other all the time. You have the left, you have the right. You have blah, 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 fighting.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, if we want our society to progress, we have to meet each other somewhere.
Meet me halfway.
Somewhere.
Or else
we're going to have a country that doesn't look very good.
You know, and you said earlier you were raised by a single parent.
Yes, I was.
And that this has been a problem for many years in South Africa, both in the black and white community.
Everywhere.
And I think everywhere, basically. Looking at the current generation, how do we fix this? And how do we groom women and even boys to become husbands in the future, to become responsible fathers? I mean, it's so sad when we have kids growing up without fathers or growing up without mothers, or they're grappling with their gogo, and every weekend they must choose to go to daddy's house or to mommy's house.
Yes.
And that also, ultimately, you know, it damages the kid, or it kind of disturbs their development and growing up.
Yeah.
How do we fix it?
Whew, Bafana, that's a very difficult question. And I say this because I don't have any kids. I'm not married, and I grew up in a single parent household. So my experience is very different to people who maybe grew up in a two parent household that was filled with love.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people grow up in different circumstances. Mm. So, I mean, yes, it was a single parent household, but my mom gave us love. Mm. And she, it makes me emotional because she passed away a couple of years ago. But she raised us the best way she possibly can. Mm-hmm. And I imagine there are single dads who maybe their wife passed away or their wife is dealing. That's really raising incredible children. So at the end of the day,
I'm one of them. Yeah, by the way.
You see? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I don't think that a two-parent household has to be what we have to all strive for. Mm. And oftentimes we find that people stay in marriages for the kids.
Yeah.
And the kids tend to grow up in a more toxic environment than if they had grown up
separated.
Because, you know, you start resenting your partner. You start, you know, feeling anger. And so how do we do this? It's so difficult for me because at the end of the day, whether you are being raised by a single mom, a single dad, two moms, two dads, if you are being raised by the village, the community, it's just about how we're raising our kids. And how we raise our kids is going to be important. So we need to speak about love. We need to speak about kindness. We need to speak about respect, integrity, and
values.
teaching these things to our kids. And they will then grow up as normal a human being as possible.
Because I think the question most people always say, can we really blame apartheid for this? Can we really blame where we come from as a result of where we are today, that we are broken people raising broken children who might likely grow and raise other broken children?
Bafana, that's interesting because when I look at GBV, for example, you know, and I interrogate violence, where does violence come from? Why is South Africa such a violent country? And I say violent because not only am I speaking GBV, but our crime stats are through the roof. Murder, you know, assault, attack with a weapon, you know, all of those sort of things. And you look at the stats that SAPS publishes every quarter and you get shocked every single time you see it. So, you know, more philosophically thinking, where does this violence come from? And, you know, one of the places that I can point to is apartheid.
Yes.
And, you know, growing up in a violent country where people of color were treated with so much violence, it's almost in our DNA. It's almost,
to respond
and to always be on our guard. And one of the pros is that we are a very progressive country.
Yeah.
You know, we take to the streets. We tell government if we want, what we like, what we don't like.
The beauty of democracy.
But not just, you don't see this in other democracies. This is very South African. We're very progressive. So there's a con and there's a pro. So yes, I would say that apartheid has a role to play in it. I would say that, you know, growing up in a country where a lot of us were never accepted for a very long time plays a role into it. Imposter syndrome is something that we all struggle with, and it's all linked to mental health, right? Because our grandparents went through so much violence. They never got help for it. Ingrained within our parents, ingrained within us. So how do we fix it? How do we fix it? We need to all be like, we come from a very dangerous path and deal with it and really go through it and go through those emotions and how we feel. But also to look for a better day and know that, you know, we are the generation that can make a difference. We are the generation that can start taking care of our mental health, start speaking about it, start speaking about abuse, men going through abuse, start speaking about those things and, you know, getting the help that we need so that we can raise better children.
Because I think, I think both of us, we are 90s, right?
Yes.
We never really heard about this new term, mental health, right?
Very new.
It's either gave us... But what did give us Mal?
Yeah.
Or this was just conquest when cuckoo.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Or he's just.
She says just they haven't been okay. It's not fine.
This child is funny. He's a funny child. And I tend to see that with the rise of suicide rates amongst the youth, young people, and also with how lately the intake of drugs has went way, way above.
Alcohol
as well, and marijuana, and even women, we never thought one day we'll see a woman holding a cigarette or rolling a joint.
Gotcha.
But it seems like all of us, we are going through the most, all of us, right? Do we deploy therapists in community clinics?
That would be great.
Do we deploy it in high schools?
Amazing.
Or do we just raise stronger children?
All of it, okay. Right? All of it. So let me just take back what you said. Mm. Women can roll really great joints, just by the way. Just so you know.
Okay.
But I do think that if I had a magic wand,
sure,
right, I'd go, poof, everybody would get a therapist. To deal and go through your life and why you behave and react to certain things the way you do.
Offload
processing, right? Mm. So, yes, for psychosocial services at clinics. Mm-hmm. Yes, for psychosocial services at schools, high schools, primary schools. Mm-hmm. Yes, for them to have them at community centers. Mm-hmm. Yes, at hospitals. And yes, to be affordable and accessible. Mm-hmm. I could tell you there are many people that would love to go for counseling, that would love to go for therapy. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the means to do it. Mm. Either they don't have the financial means or they just don't know where to go.
True.
So we have call centers. You know, you have your suicide help, you have your depression, you have your all of these call centers that you can call
the
in
one called SADC.
And help. There's quite a few. Oh, also one for gender-based violence and femicide where you can call in and get some trauma counseling. You go to victim empowerment rooms at police stations, you can get trauma counseling there. But it's not enough.
True.
And I tell you this. And I'm gonna, and the viewers must understand this. If you get raped after 4 p.m.
Yes.
And you go to a police station, there won't be a social worker to assist you.
Oh, yeah.
In Gauteng. Mm. There won't be a counselor to assist you.
Mm.
Because, yes, we have it, but it's not implemented.
It's a formality.
And I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. And I spoke in the House last week on the budget speech, and I said to the MEC, GBV doesn't happen between 8 and 4. So having one social worker at a police station is unacceptable. And these NPOs are not getting paid. They're not getting their money.
Sadly, yeah.
They are not getting their increases like inflation would. So, you know, salaries must increase. The cost of living is increasing, but it's not shown by the money given to NPOs. So what happens? You go to a police station, nobody's there. Mm. You go to a NPO that gives free counseling. They can't give free counseling anymore because they're not getting funded.
Ish.
So all of it, and I want to go back to my first point, all of it links to politics.
Yeah.
And that's why I joined politics. Because that's where we make a change in people's lives.
Yes.
That's the vehicle that I chose to make a difference in people's lives. And Bafana, I heard today that I was assisting, I don't know if you guys heard about it, it was a gogo in Palm Ridge, and she was raped by a young boy in her shack the whole night. She woke up the next morning, she was full of his. And she cried for help. The police took forever to come.
Ouch.
Eventually they came. They closed the case. They called me. I fought with everybody. They opened the case. And today, he was found guilty.
Oh, man.
He was found guilty.
But it worries me. How do you feel? I also saw a video a while ago of a young boy beating up his grandmother. I don't know what was for that. I forgot the name of the boy. I think a month ago or something was trending on Twitter. I mean, have we lost that fear of elders? Have we not even fear, the respect of elders in this country that will do such a hideous thing to an old woman? That's absurd. It's terrible, hey.
But sorry, Bafana, my point is that if why do I, as a public rep, have to go to a police station to make them do something about GBV? Why did I have to go and fight with them to reopen the case when they found him guilty today?
You know, I'm going to come to this part of GBV.
Mm-hmm.
For most men, we support it.
Mm-hmm.
I must be very clear, we support it. But what I have seen as well on Twitter and whatever, when most men are accused of these things, meanwhile, as women are tending to use it now to silence men.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts is if you're lying about being raped, if you're lying about being abused, and you're lying consciously, you must go to jail.
True.
Equality is equality.
Yes.
The law
is
the law.
Yes.
What you are doing is emotional abuse to that man. You're putting him. Men have committed suicide for being wrongly
Accused.
Mm-hmm. So if a woman is found guilty to have been, to have wrongly accused somebody, she must go to jail. And this might not be a statement that many people are going to agree with me. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to lie about it, it makes it so much more difficult
to fight it
for women who are actually going through it.
That has always been my point. And I've always said, it is sad that a scourge such as this in our country, where women, you know, live in this fear, it's either been raped, or maybe it's either been abused and be beaten by a, by a man 24/7.
Yeah.
And then he finds someone. I think there's a story in Pretoria, mm-hmm, where the, something called Mavoso, if you've heard about that, mm-hmm, thing. Mm-hmm. When the girl wakes up in the morning, wants money from you. If you don't give her the money in the morning, mm-hmm, she's calling the police, mm-hmm, for rape.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, can this really stand? But yeah, most guys, they always say, you know what? What's the use? The police believe them. So as a man already, mm-hmm, you are a perpetrator before proven otherwise.
Yeah, no, go to jail. Mm-hmm. Don't collect 200. Go straight to jail. And I say this because I always believe the victim.
Yes.
And I'm going to say it unapologetically.
Validate the victim, yes.
I always believe the victim. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes and tells me they felt, I will believe them.
Mm-hmm.
But if it proves that they were lying, then they must go to jail. Mm. But Bafana, I must say, the amount of women who lie about it in comparison,
mm-hmm,
to it actually happening is very small.
True.
Mm-hmm. Very, very small. And mm-hmm, and oftentimes we don't want to entertain this conversation because it's a non-starter, because mm-hmm, it's very small,
mm-hmm,
in comparison, mm-hmm, to the women who are being raped and being abused and financially, emotionally, mentally, physically abused.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm,
if they are found to be lying, straight to jail. Mm-hmm.
It's clear.
We want to have nothing
it's
to do
clear.
With it.
I think for me, that's what I always support, to say, women, and I think this thing must go up across board, even men who have been abused,
absolutely,
either financially, psychologically, gender-based violence. We used to know it as a woman thing.
Yes, yes.
But now you have seen most guys, you know, being clapped like, yo.
Yeah, it's so real.
I wonder if this thing only ends here or it's going to be
sure. Bafana, it's so real.
Mm, mm.
The amount of stories, the amount of experiences you hear about men,
mm-hmm,
being stabbed, men being cut with razors, mm, men being abused.
Mm,
it's
mm,
shocking.
Mm, mm.
And members of the LGBT. Corrective rape is, mm-hmm, a massive issue. LGBT plus corrective rape. So
yes.
Let's say, for example, you have a lesbian,
mm-hmm,
and she's raped by a man because, mm-hmm, they believe that if she's raped, she will become straight. So it's sort of correcting it. That's BS, and that needs to stop. And whoever participates in that, straight to jail also.
Something like that exists. They believe that if they rape a lesbian girl, she will be straight.
Yes. It's called corrective rape. And for men too, I imagine.
I imagine as well. Yes. I'm going to take on to this one. Is it anger or is it what?
So I think about this all the time. What is the root causes of gender-based violence? And,
mm-hmm,
there's many causes.
Yes.
Our violent past.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in an unequal society.
Mm-hmm.
The patriarchy. Simply not having, and I keep saying this, respect for other human beings and their rights and their values. Mm-hmm. It's this idea and this concept of power. I will exert my power onto you because you're weaker than me. And I will exert it in a violent manner. For me, that's where it all comes down to. And how do we fix it, right?
Mm.
Because we can speak about the philosophical.
The thing is, I see it more happening. I see it more happening in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens to people that we would deem to be lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you remember what
Domestic violence.
Yes. There was a point, I think there was on the story of this AKA, when the thing, I'm not sure what happened between the two. And we have seen many other people in relationships
mm-hmm,
where it usually starts beautiful in a relationship. Is it because of maybe cheating partners, disloyalty?
Again,
is it what?
Bafana, it goes back to what I said. It's violence as we grow up as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It's experiences that we've had. You know, you can have an abuser coming from a perfect family. You can have an abuser coming from a broken family. Right? It's always about that. Is it nature? Is it nurture? Are you born with it or are you raised like that?
Yes.
Right? And for me, it's always about how people experience life and how what your experience is. So if you experience, I want my woman to be a certain way and enforce it with violence.
Yeah, that's something
right?
else.
That's a problem. If you're a woman and say, I want a man like this and enforce it with violence, that's the butter. That's the underlying issue is that enforcement, is that feeling of I own you. You are mine. You know, I was in a relationship where, you know, even being in a public space, and I didn't realize working with GBV that I was being emotionally abused. You know, because I'm like, I fight GBV every day. Surely I'll know what it is. But but abuse happens in
different forms.
Slowly also. You know, you don't get into a relationship tomorrow, he hits you. It's a progression.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even realize we are in an
abusive relationship.
Abusive, unhealthy relationships. Only when somebody said to me, I was like, oh my gosh. And I felt guilt for a while because I was like, if I'm fighting for other women, how can I not even fight for myself? But I had to give myself grace. And remind myself that we're all human beings. And sometimes we don't even realize how abused we are getting until we see it.
Yeah, I think what they say is the power of love. The power of love. Sometimes it blinds you and you end up thinking, maybe if I just behave the way he wants me, he will love me better. If maybe I just gave her a bit of attention, she would take me, you know. But really is just abuse, and I think it must be called that. I'm gonna come to this part. The Miss Independent movement.
Love it.
Our sisters with i10s.
Yes.
And
BMWs.
And BMWs.
Love it.
With nails.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, she's right here.
Yes.
Our sisters with degrees.
The one the song Neo sang about.
Miss Independent.
That one. Oh, no, Gabrielle Union.
Her. She got it all.
Okay.
I think there's also been an issue from the guys' club.
Okay, let's hear
it. So say it's kind of hard to love this kind of woman. And there's a question to say, is it because they don't want to be led and guided,
okay,
or is it maybe it's a man instinct or patriarchy to say I can't control them because she doesn't need me?
Listen, Bafana, when you get the answer, let me know.
What do you think is
okay,
the problem?
Because as an independent woman, right,
yes,
according to your definition, right, with my Ford Fiesta, and we don't speak about this enough. If you are a woman and you have worked hard, I've worked hard for everything I have.
True.
I was a NASFA student.
You're an overachiever.
I paid my NASFA. As soon as I got a job, I paid it because to carry over for
you
the next student.
NASFA.
I paid
NASFA. You're one of the few ones.
Yes, because in my brain, somebody had to pay for me to get it. So in my head, it's paying it forward. So if I paid some other,
we'll get the opportunity. Love it.
Right?
Love the idea.
So I worked hard. Being in politics is not for the weak.
True.
Being a young woman of color, serving in council, serving in parliament, serving in the legislature has not been easy. Everything you work for, you do it and you find the strength within you because you want to do better.
Yes.
And you want to set, you know, clear the way for those that come after you. So to find love is not very easy. And it's a combination of a couple of things, right? So I was saying to somebody, I want to buy a house. I want to buy my first house. But will that make me a little bit more undateable? Right?
She got a house, but
I don't know if she's a, because automatically you have this perception, the politics of perception. I call it the politics of perception, because what you see or how you view it is not necessarily what it is.
True.
Or how you perceive it,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Your perception is based on numerous things. We can go into the politics of perception another time.
Sure.
But when you perceive a woman, a young woman, and there's many of us, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of these young women.
Very proud
from
of them.
The ANC, from the DA, from the Freedom Front, from the ACDP, from Rise of Zanzi, to Action SA, all, whatever political party you choose,
yes,
to start taking these spaces up. But a lot of us have come from student leadership, right? Where we never got married and then joined politics. We joined politics and then we're looking for love afterwards. And it's difficult because men, you know, some men view it as she's going to be bossy. So I don't want to go there. You know, she's already made it. What do I have to offer? You know, don't politic with me, you know, when we discussing facts, right? Yeah, like, what do you mean? Right?
You took a big chat.
And so it's very difficult. That's why I can't answer your question because I don't know.
Because I think somebody said, and they could have been wrong, when a man gets a job and gets all the success, he says, okay, now I'm ready to get married, settle down, and build my life. Uh-huh. On the other side, when a woman gets all of that, she's like, great, I don't need a man in my life.
Well, we don't. We don't need anybody in our lives.
But I think
we want people in our lives. We are not islands. We do not live on an island where we can survive on our own. Human beings are us. Nature is to build with each other.
Yes.
So it's not about I don't need a man, I don't need a woman, I don't need friends. Mm-hmm. Blah. We want them. Woman, no matter if you're the CEO of Standard Bank, or you're the president of the country, or you're the premier of the Western Cape, or the mayor of Joburg, every human being wants to be loved. We want to, you know, be taken care of. We want to be cherished. So even if you meet, guys, take my advice, even if you meet a woman that is doing the most, if you can love and care for her, that's what matters. It's not about monetary. You know, and I say this because, you know, you want to be in a team with somebody that has that's as ambitious as you are.
Hungry.
That is hungry for a better life. Not only for you, but for your family, for your parents. You know, you want to buy your mom a house. You want to build a house for your family. You can do this with a woman who has also done it. Come on, guys. Don't look at us like that. You know, you would surely, Bafana, you would want to be on a team with a winner.
Definitely. But I think sometimes the winner becomes a bit, how can I put it? I think these are perceptions, and you're right, politics of perception. It's that most men generally would go for a woman who maybe they may think or they think they can be able to guide, to lead, to protect. And to some of them, whenever a woman is a bit higher, holds a higher status in society, they tend to feel like they can't fully have you. And they don't, because I think men feel more secured when they feel that they're in charge.
Yeah.
But when there is a tit for tat arrangement, when they feel, I mean, they don't say you must need them.
Yes.
But I think a woman wants to feel needed as well. And a man wants to feel needed as well. Not
we want
just
to feel
wanted.
No. We want to feel wanted. Because when you can't live with somebody, without somebody, you must ask questions about yourself.
It's toxic.
Right? You must be okay with yourself first before you can get into anything else. So I'm still saying wanted and not necessarily needed. But I hear where you're coming from, Bafana. And the politics of perception is toxic. The politics of perception is problematic.
Yes.
But it is how we are as human beings. We perceive everything with how we see, what we smell, how we taste, what we touch, how we feel, and so forth. So going back to our earlier in our conversation, you know, looking at the family structure and looking at, you know, wives and being independent and you know, telling if you find your person, and you find somebody that respects you for who you are and loves you for who you are, finding a balance will be super easy, I think. And I have hope.
I mean, same here. I have hope.
So if anybody wants to send me their resumes.
Is what?
Yeah, a 3-month bank statement, affidavit that they don't live with their mom.
Credit score.
I'm just joking. Recommendations from your exes. I'm just joking.
I'm going to go to this one right here, just before I let you go. I think we spoke more about family relationships and how we build better homes. And we have seen a lot of women going into positions of power. And I think this question, you can answer it better. How does it affect your families being on these leadership roles? Some kids tend to say, my mom is a CEO, yes, but I hardly spend time with her.
Absence,
my dad is this guy, I hardly have time. How does it affect your families, being an overachiever as a woman? How does it affect how you relate to your children or even your family members?
Look, again, I can't speak from a position because I don't know. Okay, but how do I foresee it and how do I see it happening around me? Yes, I agree. Children who come from high-powered parents, politicians, CEOs, business people, those who travel, tend to grow up with some abandonment issues, naturally, because your mom's not there to take you to school every day or whatever. But people do it for a reason. People give up their lives so that their children can have a better life. People give up their lives so that society can have a better life. Nelson Mandela, Winnie Mandela, Helen Zille, and I keep going back to women leaders. Because I want to say this, and I know it's going off. Women leaders are not respected in this country. Okay? Women leaders are often demonized in this country, and male leaders are celebrated. I can see the way you're looking at me, but I'm standing on what I'm saying. Okay. And I speak about this in the terms of Winnie Mandela,
yes,
incredible woman, but she was demonized, right? Oh, she was too radical. Oh, she wanted to burn the country with one match. That is the power of a woman. Helen Zille, premier of the Western Cape, mayor of the city of Cape Town, changed the political landscape of this country. Helen Suzman changed the political landscape of this country.
Yes.
You do not see them getting statues. You do not see them getting celebrated and romanticized as much as male leaders, and I'm sick of it. And I am on this podcast to tell everybody, put some respect on these women's names because they deserve that. They have fought, nail them out. They have left their families.
Give them their flowers.
To make this country a better place, give them their flowers. And I speak of Helen Zille, Auntie Pat, Patricia de Lille. I speak about, you know, these women in the ANC that have done so much for us. Give them their flowers and stop demonizing them and celebrating men.
I think the last question is this one. Is South Africa ready, or do you foresee a future where we will have a woman president?
Absolutely.
And how far are we from that?
Well, absolutely. Let me start by saying absolutely. I'm from the DA. I know what strong female leadership is.
True.
Gogo
Helen.
Hi, sure. She is incredible.
Sure.
And yes, people may not agree with what she says all the time. I don't.
Yeah.
And me and Helen, you know, we speak about it, and she's always open for debate. So if I disagree with her, I can go and say, Helen, listen, I don't agree with this, and we can speak about it. I have seen women take up leadership positions, be premiers, being mayors, doing incredible things. So yes, it is possible. How long? I wish sooner than later. Only because, not because she's a woman, but because she's capable of doing the work. Not because she was born with your genes as a woman, but because she has put in the work.
Yes.
And she knows what she needs to do to make a difference in this country. So how soon? I wish I could say in the next 5 years. That would be great. But it's something that's definitely possible, 100%.
My sister, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you.
But before you go, there's a camera behind me right here.
Yes.
What is your message to fellow women in South Africa as we celebrate Women's Month? There you go.
Cool. So to all the women and the girls out there, I want you to know that you have the potential. You have the capability within you to make a difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of many other people and the country as a whole. If we can do it, you can do even better. Even better. I come from many experiences and the same background as many of you have. Work hard, believe in yourself, and don't listen to that little imposter syndrome at the back of your head that says you can't do it, because I believe in you and you can.
Yeah, man, that's her, Nesli Sharif. Be on the lookout for her. She might be the next president of this country. What a powerhouse. This was our Women's Month, kicking off our Women's Month series. Stay be on the lookout for more other women coming on this platform as we are celebrating women. Remember, if we empower women, we empower the nation. Other than that, I am Bafana Modise, and this is Beyond the Ballot, proudly brought to you by VVIP, Podcast Party, where great minds don't think alike. Ciao, ciao.